Imagine spending years, decades, thinking only about YouTube every single day. You amass millions of followers after days of never-ending work, only for everything you ever worked for to disappear in seconds because of a catastrophic decision. Well, this exact situation has happened to multiple big-name YouTubers. And so the question is, where are these YouTubers today? Where did they go, and what actually happened to them? Well, the truth about where many of these YouTubers ended up is incredibly sad, dark, and sometimes infuriating to say the least. And to understand this, we'll begin with one of the worst YouTubers to ever be on the platform, Austin Jones. All the way back in 2007, 1 year after YouTube was created, Austin Jones realized the platform's potential. In the beginning, he started making videos as a hobby, and these videos were innocent enough, mostly him doing covers of popular songs. And as YouTube's growth began to skyrocket during this period, his videos started gaining some traction, and he was quickly building a small audience, which gave him the confidence to start writing and releasing his own music. And by doing this, he eventually earned over 500,000 subscribers, all in the YouTube early days. And so it really seemed like he was set to go places. But unfortunately for the viewers watching, Jones's operations weren't nearly as innocent as they seemed. Given the nature of Jones's content, most of his audience were on the younger side. Around this period, kids loved YouTube. It was an amazing way to see types of videos they would never see on television, and they would especially go crazy over YouTube stars, which is why so many YouTubers have a bad reputation for abusing their power and trust, as especially children on the platform are so dangerously easy to take advantage of. And it turned out, this was exactly what Austin Jones was doing. After almost 10 years of being on YouTube, he would use his position to pursue 6 teenage girls. He began to message them outside of YouTube, and things might have seemed friendly at first, and actually interesting for them seeing their favorite YouTube star messaging them, until he started sending some rather weird messages, specifically requesting sexually explicit videos. And unfortunately, due to his position, his attempts were actually successful, and he received videos from each of them. One of the girls, a 14-year-old, sent him 15 videos, 10 of which were explicit. He would then proceed to tell her how lucky she was to have his attention and claim these videos would prove she was his biggest fan. And things got real weird real quick. Like when she expressed concern over getting in trouble after a message where he said he might let her suck his D, to him responding, "I guess you really aren't my biggest fan. Okay then." Not only was he manipulative, he was also a sexual criminal. But it turned out these 6 girls weren't his only victims. Using his influence on YouTube, he began to spread his reach on all social media sites. On Facebook alone, there were 30 odd occasions where he encouraged other underage girls to send him explicit videos and photos. However, this time, he told them that the photos were for a modeling opportunity. The whole situation is made so much worse by the fact that he directed them on what they should wear and how they should pose and even give them lines to recite. But little did he know how much he would pay for the consequences. In June 2017, authorities were then granted a warrant to search Jones's home, and he would be arrested on 2 counts of producing child porn shortly after. During his hearing, his attorney sought the lower sentencing, as they argued that Jones's actions were a result of his father touching him as a child, further highlighting that he'd shown remorse and obeyed the strict rules he'd been placed under while on house arrest. But of course, this wouldn't get him very far. So in 2019, he would plead guilty to 1 count of explicit child content and was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. His YouTube channel and social media accounts were all shut down subsequently after. Once he was imprisoned, no one heard a word from Jones. There were no accounts, no stories, and it was almost like he completely vanished. His entire social media presence wiped from the internet, and nobody there to hear him out. And quite rightly. And now he's currently sitting at the Federal Correctional Institution in Loretto. And he'll be staying there until at least the 31st of December 2027. And hopefully if he is released after this date, he won't be back on social media once more. But he wasn't the only one to get in trouble with the law on the platform. In spite of where these YouTubers are, you can actually be one of the future content creators that feel empowered to live their dream life, such that you can express or communicate your ideas in the form of full-length videos like I do, the kind you'd be excited to share within your peers, in the most seamless, intuitive way possible, irrespective of whatever skill level you're at. NVIDIA AI enables you to do just that. All you gotta do is just type in the idea that you want to create a video about.
Is Gen Z broke? Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's complicated.
It's pretty game-changing. You can even edit whatever you like using simple text commands like translate to French or start the video with a joke. This is insane because you would never have to see or interact with a video timeline again, and you can actually edit your videos using just text commands. Not just that, but you can go one step further and clone your voice so that all the videos you create can be narrated in your own voice.
Is Gen Z broke? Spoiler alert. Yeah. Unlike traditional video tours with steep learning curves that only solve parts of your video creation process, NVIDIA is the creative partner you've always wanted. It removes all the friction and puts you in the director's seat, letting users focus entirely on their vision and their idea while NVIDIA AI does all the heavy lifting. You can try NVIDIA AI for free, as this will save you hundreds of dollars that you would otherwise spend on editing, animating, and other production costs.
EDP445, or otherwise called Bryant Moreland, first appeared online in 2010, when he posted a video of himself freestyle rapping. He would consistently post for years, and his bubbly, funny personality was beginning to show through his videos. But it wasn't until 2015 that his YouTube career really started popping off, especially when he began to pivot to creating videos centered around him talking about American football. If he wasn't praising the Philadelphia Eagles, he complained about the team that beat them. And as EDP realized that the more he showed his personality through the videos, the more views he would get, he began to take away any filter during his rants, speaking as freely as possible without any care. And people started loving it. It was so entertaining that one of his videos would actually feature on MTV's Ridiculousness.
You trained LaShawn McCoy! Motherf***er, you don't even have a f***ing game now! Who the f*** is going to run the ball? Tell me that. I'll wait.
We're going to wait together.
Tell us.
Shut your bitch ass the f***. What the f*** are we gonna do now?
There you have it, man. Never fun losing.
Further exposing EDP to an even wider audience. And with this, his subscriber and view counts grew exponentially. And so for the next few years, EDP continued to rake in the cash on these videos, posting content without any issues, and steadily growing his viewership. Occasionally, people might report his videos, simply just because of his personality and the content that he was making, but otherwise, everything seemed fine. And eventually, he gained millions of subscribers, fans that were ready to defend him and a seemingly untouchable platform. That was until 2020, when rumors began floating around that EDP was involved with minors, an accusation that's way too common with YouTubers, especially around this period. Tons of allegations were being thrown at YouTubers about this sort of stuff, but things became even worse after he said he would legalize sexual relationships between minors and adults if he were president, which definitely don't help with the accusations coming out, and especially not the words you want to hear from a man who once said he wants to adopt a little girl and live in the middle of nowhere.
I want to adopt a little girl. Adopt a little girl, get me a fucking house out in the middle of fucking nowhere, you know what I mean? And get a fucking dog, you know? And, you know, raise her, you know what I mean? Have her be the heir to the throne, my nigga, eat that pussy 445.
With all of this weird stuff, in October that year, Cold Raven, a fellow YouTuber, posted a video featuring EDP. In it, he revealed that the content creator had been messaging minors and trying to hook up with them. Cold Raven then continued to release new evidence of EDP's misdeeds, and even tricked him with an underage decoy. His constant calling out of EDP eventually earned him an invite to Drama Alert. The plan was to have him and EDP discuss the issue in a controlled environment, and what better way to gather insight into a situation than talk to the people directly involved. While Cold Raven was happy to accept the invite, EDP ignored it. Not only did this only make his case even more suspicious, but the video he posted in response to Cold Raven just made things completely awful. In the video, he never showed any remorse for his actions, took accountability, or even addressed these damning allegations. Instead, he would try to play himself off as the victim.
Just because I haven't came out and made some big-ass crying video, you know what I mean? Making a fucking ass out of myself, all hysterical on camera and shit like that, that I show no remorse.
In fact, according to him, they were the bad guys for leaning him on by dressing provocatively.
I also feel minors should get in trouble for messaging adults.
Now, this really should have been the moment he faded into obscurity. And to be fair, the backlash would hit hard, but this actually didn't kill EDP's career. In fact, it only just gave him more notoriety. But this would change in 2021. Two YouTubers known as Alex Rossin and CC Unit had been working to catch him in the act for a few months. They secretly set up a decoy text exchange, pretending to be a 13-year-old girl to entice EDP. And of course, he took the bait and sent the decoy numerous sexually explicit messages. Eventually, the two arranged to meet, but EDP was in for an infamous nasty surprise, one that would go completely viral on the internet, as when he arrived, what was waiting for him was not a 13-year-old girl, but grown men with plenty of evidence against him. 84 messages worth of evidence to be exact. And when questioned, EDP hilariously tried to play off the situation by claiming he was just there to get a cupcake. And despite all the evidence, he further tried to argue that he wasn't going to do anything sexual in the first place, and that these were never his intentions. And as the YouTubers called the cops on him, EDP fled the scene before the authorities could arrive. But the video would go completely viral, and now everybody knew the truth about who EDP really was. After the video, it didn't take long for YouTube to terminate most of his channels, and anyone and everyone associated with him immediately cut ties. EDP kept trying to make a comeback, but he was shot down on almost every platform. YouTube banned, Facebook banned, Instagram banned, even obscure websites that allowed their users to post videos were also banned. Anywhere he went, the internet followed simply to ensure that he couldn't put down roots. People even began to report him to his landlords and his employers, going completely out of their way to keep him homeless and unemployed. Someone even shared leaflets detailing inappropriate activities with his neighbors. From being a beloved YouTuber with millions of subscribers, to now having absolutely nothing, was a completely dramatic turnaround. And as a result, EDP faded into the background, seemingly with no other way to ever be heard from again. Unless there was news of his arrest. But despite all the evidence against him, he was never actually charged. And what did happen was somewhat remarkable, as in March 2023, he made his first attempt at coming back online, posting a video to his own website titled How EDP Was Set Up. And this was by far his worst attempt at trying to clear his name. As according to EDP, this sting operation was actually meant to be his audition for a movie, but instead he claimed that the YouTubers had used the footage to frame him. There he included screenshots of an apparent email exchange between him and the YouTuber, but nobody who watched the video believed a word he was saying, as most pointed out that the interviewer sounded like an AI voice and the emails he claimed he received from the YouTuber looked photoshopped, and poorly. It also made no sense that the YouTuber would refer to himself as Chet when that was a character he was playing. Unfortunately for EDP, this did nothing to prove his innocence. Even if the sting was a setup, there were still all the other allegations of him being inappropriate with actual teenage girls. So, a few months later, he tried a different approach. Maybe finally apologizing and taking accountability for his actions would actually give him a real shot at redemption. The issue was that he never actually apologized to his victims, only his family and friends. He also ignored his previous attempts at clearing his name. As he came out apologizing for all of his actions, it just felt disingenuous, mainly because it felt like he was trying to guilt people into forgetting what he'd actually done. It also didn't help that he didn't seem to show any remorse for his actions outside of his apology video. Now you'd think with all of this, with the absolute cancellation and his career completely ruined, that there'd be no way he'd be back on social media. But EDP found a way, and in February 2023, he created another YouTube channel, gaining almost 40,000 subscribers. And well, it turned out in 2025, this exact thing would happen, and his new channel would be taken off of YouTube, only for him to then make a brand new channel on top of that one. And thus far, it seems like YouTube hasn't really done anything about it. But it seems like it will only be a matter of time before his current channel is also terminated too. But sometimes YouTubers take it even further. Phileas was a young man from Cyprus who dreamed of being as successful as his favorite YouTubers, and he didn't care about what it took to become famous on YouTube, whether it be flying all the way to LA, forcing himself onto the biggest YouTubers, and putting himself through any uncomfortable situation that could give him clout. Yet unfortunately, all of this meant that he wasn't above breaking laws, stalking celebrities, and even forcing Elon Musk into hugging him. But people never really cared because he seemed funny enough that people found it entertaining, and almost innocent in a way. So he continued on with his antics, until he went to Japan. In October 2023, Phileas posted a video of himself and four others trying to travel across Japan for free. Phileas then proceeded to make a complete nuisance of himself. After begging for money, he took a bus ride but couldn't pay the fare in full. And much to Phileas' surprise, the bus driver locked him on the bus and took him to a police station, where he was temporarily detained. Now in hindsight, this could have just been planned to get more views from the rage bait, and it probably worked to some extent, which is why he seemed to have no remorse for his actions in Japan at all. The only thing that he seemed to care about was that the Japanese authorities had confiscated his phone.
And they took my phone away, so I couldn't film anything.
But at least he got the perfect content and pissed off enough people in Japan. After then being released, he hid in the bathroom of two trains to try and avoid paying a ticket, abusing Japan's high trust society culture, all for more views. He then ran from police because of this and even stole food from a hotel. Understandably, people were upset about the video. It was incredibly disrespectful to Japanese culture, and he'd not only disrespected Japan, but also broken the law itself. After dealing with huge backlash for this video, Phidias decided it was time for an apology. But having done many other crazy videos, and with some very questionable thumbnails in the past, it didn't seem like he ever actually cared emotionally about this stuff, and more so was far more concerned about the videos themselves. As in the apology video, he never actually apologized or showed remorse to the people of Japan. Instead, he just posted a comment saying it was not his goal to make the Japanese people feel bad. While he did technically use the words "I apologize," the comment barely counted as an apology. Plus, it just made things so much worse for him, as YouTube would eventually remove the video and force similar ones. Yet despite the controversy, Phidias was still relatively successful. He just continued uploading videos, doing some of the craziest challenges possible. However, slowly but surely, the content just got a little bit stale. His audience was dwindling, and it seemed like he needed a complete new career change, as the clout from YouTube just wasn't enough. He wanted to live a life with a bigger impact on the world. And so, fast forward a few years, and he ended up joining the European Parliament. Yes, you heard that correctly. This guy, who did these sorts of videos, begging for a hug from Elon Musk, now wanted to run for the EU Parliament. When he announced his candidacy in April 2024, most people thought it was a joke in Cyprus. Not only did he have no political experience, and had never spoken about anything political before, but it was also completely unheard of for an independent party to win an election and join the European Parliament. Nobody took this seriously, he was just a crazy YouTuber. But unfortunately, young voters in Cyprus did find it funny, and so Phidias somehow managed to finish third in the election, earning him himself a seat in the European Parliament, which now meant that Phidias was responsible for voting on laws and bills that would affect the entire EU, which in some ways both a testament to and a warning of the power of social media. And yet this was an incredible achievement for Phidias. It seemed like a complete 180, and yet Phidias continued with his old ways, even in Parliament. However, in some ways it's quite remarkable, as rather than choosing how to vote on things himself, especially with his lack of political experience, he instead let social media decide his votes, as he argued that this is what allowed for direct democracy with the people, something that's never been done before. But in some ways, this is a turn for the best for Phidias, and it seems like his real personality is finally coming to the surface, and now he is becoming a legitimate politician, all whilst using his knowledge of social media to start beef with the VP of the European Parliament and leveraging his social media position to gain more votes. And in a remarkable way, this has actually gained him more power on social media and more influence than any of the videos he's done in the past, something that can't be said for Nas Daily. You see, before taking the world by storm as Nas Daily, the creator lived a relatively normal life. He went to good school, got into Harvard, and enjoyed his life just like anyone in his shoes might. Then in 2016, he would start posting 1-minute vlogs on Facebook, all just as a hobby to showcase interesting things from around the world. As the daily video series was relatively innocent, and made with pure passion, it garnered a large audience quickly, as people were evidently curious about experiences in other parts of the world. And at this time, not many people were making this sort of content. He was filling a huge gap in the markets on social media, and as a result, by January 2019, his Facebook profile had gained 12 million followers. After such huge success, he wanted to start producing long-form content, and really up his game on social media, so he turned to the only site that could do this, YouTube. In February of that same year, Nas Daily posted a weekly series of videos. Just like his Facebook videos, he showcased his travel, exercise routines, and even his own story. However, he soon started really nailing the YouTube videos, gaining tens of millions of views, as these videos would center around specific people, interesting places, and even projects that were changing entire countries. And people absolutely loved the content. His videos skyrocketed to the top of the YouTube algorithm. And yet, just as quickly as he gained his fame, fans would start to turn on him. With a few bad decisions, he would lose almost everything. And it all started with a video about the oldest traditional tattoo artist in the world, Wang Odi. The video was informative and showcased Wang and her tribe positively, as she was clearly a very unique person, living an incredibly unique life. And so Nas Daily would showcase her way of life for future generations. But the issues began in the video's description, where Nas's team claimed that Wang Odi would teach an online course on what she did. The course was called Wang Odi Academy and promised that all profits would go to her tribe. But as it turned out, this online course was apparently a scam. as one of Wang's relatives posted to Facebook to tell people that she hadn't signed a contract to do the course originally, as according to her, Nas was taking advantage of her culture and disrespecting the legacy of Wang. To no one's surprise, the internet wasn't happy by this, especially from such a huge creator. They were even less happy when the Nas team tried to defend themselves. You see, they claimed that Wang had been fully aware of the contract she was signing and that everything had been above board. They even provided video evidence of her putting her fingerprint on the contract. However, someone from Wang's tribe quickly contradicted the claim, as they revealed that Wang hadn't understood the translators. Any evidence of her putting her fingerprint on the contract was ultimately meaningless, and the village was now apparently worried that they were being exploited for money. The whole thing seemed to put a bad taste in everyone's mouth, and started to subconsciously put doubts in the followers of Nas Daily. And from there, the controversies only seemed to start piling on. The main guy behind it was then deemed racist by the founder of the Kakao Project. Whether right or wrong, he seemed to offend the followers of six religions in just 6 months. The next issues would come from him never disclosing to viewers when he was actually being sponsored. It seemed like every week there was another controversy, and as they began piling on, Nas Daily's viewership tanked. His videos went from receiving tens of millions of views to barely ever breaking 100,000 views, even with 13 million subscribers. And so Nas would decide to do something about this. Instead, he posted a video titled, Why I Ended My Career. Right from the get-go, the video seemed slightly condescending, as many thought it was like Nas was talking down to his audience as he gently reprimanded them for disliking him.
We think that everybody that succeeds is evil. I don't know why we think that, but if somebody succeeds on YouTube or in the world, then automatically they're evil. And I don't quite get why that is.
But it only got worse from there, as Nas began to talk about himself like someone might talk about one of their idols.
I went from underdog to hero with more than 15 million followers on YouTube, 22 on... I've become a hero.
The one thing that seemed to really stand out quite starkly was that he made a point calling himself a hero. He said it with almost breathless, disbelieving pride, with a smile on his face and everything else, like he deserved high praise just for his videos. Comments about his narcissism were almost typing themselves, and he didn't yet get to the point of his video. The whole reason he was making this video in the first place was to address the controversies that had been plaguing him. So he thought the video would set the record straight and finally address all these controversies surrounding the channel, and then he would go back to enjoying his previously overwhelming success. But unfortunately for him, that's really not how the video was received. When he started addressing the controversies, he seemed to do so with the air of someone who didn't think they'd done anything wrong, barely addressing the issues, brushing them off with half-baked excuses before moving on.
It wasn't the person we worked with that was angry. It was her cousin, because she wasn't part of the deal. And of course, if you're not part of the deal, you feel left out, and so you have to feel like something's wrong. So nobody knew, including Nas Daily, but for some reason, Nas Daily was the one to pay the price.
And the video only gets so much worse from there, as he continues to avoid the real problems behind the controversies and doesn't even bother mentioning others. The whole thing was a disaster of a video that did nothing to help his failing reputation and should just never have been made in the first place. And what he did in the days after the video didn't make things any easier for him either. When people started reacting to the video and calling him out on his nonsense, Nas decided that he didn't want to hear it. And so he did one of the worst things any YouTuber can do and hit people with copyright strikes, completely silencing any attempted criticism. And he would specifically target smaller creators using clips that fell under fair use. So understandably, he lost a huge amount of his audience for this. And now today, he continues making the same videos, but with barely any views. And every month, it seems like it goes down more and more.